Be seated. The peace of Christ be with you. Hey, we've got some visitors here today that are looking at Hope College. We want to welcome you to Hope. Welcome. Some of you have come from north and south, east and west, but you're really glad you're here visiting our family today. And we hope that you give Hope a second look. We'd love to be your people. I'd love to be your pastor. I also want to bring to knowledge that Robert's mom is here today, and we want to welcome you. Yeah, come on, stand up. Yeah, a little lavish for the woman. All right. Yeah. His sister's here today, but I won't make her stand. We welcome you as well. I also want to bring your attention to one more thing. There's a cross-country regional event tomorrow. Yes. 11 o'clock on the men, the 12 o'clock the women are running. It's at the West Ottawa Golf Course. Run the race, my friends. Bring home the prize. Yeah, I can't do what you do at all. Let's transition. The word of the Lord today comes from the letter to Paul, from Paul to the Philippians in verse 17, verse 21. Hear the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example that you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. You've heard me speak of them before, and now I tell you of them even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from there we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform our bodies of humiliation so that we may be conformed to the body of his glory by the same power that enables him to make all things subject to himself. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning, I want to tell you something you probably already know or should know, but I should say clearly. I have an agenda. I have an underlying personal viewpoint, and I have a bias. I have an agenda. I don't mean any harm by it. I just think that it's really, really, really important, critical, life and death. I have an agenda. I want you to be a Christian. I ache for you to be a disciple of the risen King, Jesus Christ. I long for you to be an honest-to-goodness, Holy Spirit-breathing, pick-up-your-cross, despite-the-cost, love-your-neighbor-as-yourself kind of Christian. My daily prayer is that you will be like a substantial tree planted by streams of water, growing deeper in grace and taller in faith. I ache for you and for this college to be thoroughly Christian, to give its whole life, not part of its life, all of its life to Jesus, because Jesus has given his whole life to us. I want you to know God's life-altering, world-changing, fear-shattering confidence of faith that comes with the knowledge that the resurrection means that Jesus Christ is now on the loose. I have an agenda. I want you to be a Christian. I want you to be a follower of Jesus. Not a part-time Christian or a mini-Christian or a partial Christian or a tenuous Christian. Not a pretend dabbling mini-Christian. I want you to be an authentic one. One that's going to have the faith that is durable and strong enough and deep enough to stand the pressures that you're going to face in the really real world. I want you to be a Christian. But here's the problem. If the research I'm reading is correct, if those who are taking the cultural temperature of those coming out of our churches and our colleges are even halfway right, then many of us, though not here, I'm sure, many of us are not Christians at all, even though we claim that name. We call ourselves Christians, but we don't know what it actually means when we have to describe our faith. The research I'm reading suggests that the fault line running underneath American Christianity is an adherence to a do-good, feel-good spirituality that has little to do with the triune God of grace. little to do with the God of the Christian tradition, and even less to do with the loving Jesus Christ, enough to follow him in mission into all the world. If I'm reading the research correctly, and I like to think that I am, the Christian faith I ache for you to grow deeper and taller in is being colonized by another religion altogether. It is what the sociologist Christian Smith calls moralistic therapeutic deism, or MTD in short. You've heard me talk about this before. But this is a religion that is dominating and colonizing the imagination of our churches and our colleges. This is a religion where we are called to be good people. God is there if we need his help. He's kind of a cosmic lifeguard, but he plays no real active role in our lives at all. And more importantly, he makes no claims on our lives. To be Christian is important for moral formation and for making nice people. And isn't that nice? But faith in Christ is not that big of a deal. We can dabble in it. We can come and go as we please. This religion of moralistic therapeutic deism likes to enjoy all the benefits of being religious without all the prickly commitment or costly sacrifice. Moralistic therapeutic deism allows us to go to church and to simply enjoy the atmosphere of faith as we pass through the pipeline of privilege to be happy and prosperous people. In other words, we are, as one scholar diagnostically describes, almost Christian. To be almost Christian is to approach Christianity like we do music or sports as an extracurricular activity, a good, well-rounded thing to do, but unnecessary for an integrated and happy life. Jesus Christ is kind of like a cosmic coach to make us play better and live better and be nicer. The church is a voluntary team we can join or quit anytime we want. The problem is, this almost Christian attitude is no Christianity at all. Not in any form, not in any shade. This kind of Christianity is not the historic Christian faith. It is a perversion. What the research is suggesting is that the Christianity shaping your imaginations is subtly morphing into a different kind of religion than that of the historic Christian faith. What's happening right under our noses in our churches and in our colleges of faith is that the hot lava core of the Christian faith, God's redeeming work of Christ on the cross, is muted and being replaced by a religion that convinces us that not much is being at stake in following Jesus. And because we don't think there's much at stake, we don't think that it demands our time and our attention. We don't think that we need to learn it. We don't think that we need to study it. We don't think that we need to be formed in it. And our faith over time becomes tenuous at best. And as you graduate and move into the currents of life, you lose your faith altogether. That's what the research is telling us. And that's what I don't want to have happen to you. I have an agenda. I want you to be a Christian. I want you to know personally the love and redeeming power of God's work in your life. But I'm not sure that this is a new problem. I think some form of being almost Christian has always been a temptation to pervert the faith. Every generation of the church has to grapple with, what does it mean to be Christian? How do you grow deeper into maturity? How do you resist the temptations that come our way? How do we be full, authentic followers of Jesus Christ? I don't care if it was the first century or the fifth century or the 17th century or the 21st century. We all have to grapple with, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Listen to Paul again. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. You've heard me speak of them before, and now I tell you of them even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. Their God is their belly. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from there we are awaiting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is calling his friends in Philippi not to be almost Christian. He's calling them not to be tenuously Christian, not to be casual Christians, not to treat Jesus Christ like a cosmic coach, not to treat the church like a voluntary society that we quit or join on a whim. He's saying that at the very core of everything is this faith. Paul is calling his friends to learn what it means to be Christian by being in relationship with otherwise Christians. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe the example that you have in others. Paul suggests that if you want to be a real Christian, have a faith that is going to stand the test of time, then pay attention to the example of other people who make Jesus Christ the center of their life. Imitate them. Observe them. Watch what they do. Knock on their door and ask if you can be in a relationship with them. Observe how they live and how they act. And this is exactly what the research suggests to us, that if we want to stem the tide of being almost Christian, the antidote for the church is not to beef up youth programs. It's not to have a cooler worship service. That if you really want to be an authentic Christian, the research suggests that those people that have and form lasting relationships with older and wiser Christians are those that don't lose their faith. It has nothing to do with being cool or being stylistic. It has to do with being in relationship with those who are in relationship with God. One of the gifts I've been given in life is to be given friends that speak into my life and pray with me and encourage me. And I've mentioned this before, but one of the things that I've noticed about those people whose faith isn't almost Christian but authentically Christian are those people who day in and day out feast on Scripture. They immerse themselves in the Word. They don't just listen to Scripture in sermons, but they open up the book themselves and they get it in. They study it. They marinate their imaginations. They eat it. They love the Word. Those that have a faith that stands the test of time love Scripture. And I want to encourage you right now in your youth at this pivotal time in your life to make Scripture part of your life. It is by doing that that we allow ourselves to be shaped by the Word that keeps us authentically Christian and not tenuously Christian. And we have to be discerning. We have to be discerning. Some call themselves Christians but reject Christ and Christ's work on the cross. It is true today as it was true in Paul's day. I have noticed those who have a robust confidence in the redeeming work of Jesus Christ on the cross are those with a faith that stands the test of time. I think the difference between being almost Christian and being a full-blooded disciple of Jesus has to do with how we understand the cross of Christ. The cross is the nerve center of what it means to be a Christian. The cross is where we are confronted and overwhelmed by God's grace. The cross is what overwhelms the soul and all our structures. But the cross, today as it was in Paul's day, is not popular. Paul is a good pastor, and he writes warning his friends to beware of those who live as an enemy of the cross, for their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, their appetites, their opinions, their desires, their experiences. Their mind is set on earthly things. The cross is not popular, and it is often shunned, even today in our churches, because it is here that the world is crucified into us and we into the world. The cross crucifies our autonomy as it exposes the lie that we cannot save ourselves, that we are not God. Many are enemies of the cross because we prefer a God to be a teacher, a philosopher, but we reject him as a savior. Here is the truth, and the truth is beautiful, and the truth can set us free. The cross, though popular or not, is ground zero, the center of God's gravity of grace. Without the cross, there is no invitation into the wide open country. For it is the cross that stamps our passport with the blood of Christ so that we may at long last travel freely as baptized citizens of a new country, where we pledge our allegiance not to a flag, not to a policy, not to a fake empire, not to a race, a culture, a gender, or any other form of experience, but we pledge ourselves, body and soul, in life and in death, to the one whose risen and royal life exercises the power that makes all things, you and me, nations and principalities, evil and hatred, all that is broken, all that is hurt, even death itself, subject to himself. Without the cross, we are almost Christian. But with the cross, we have union with the risen Savior. To be almost Christian is to be no Christian at all. This is what Paul warns his friends to avoid, and it's what I want to warn us to avoid. Christianity without the cross of Christ ends in our destruction. And the antidote to being almost Christian begins when we refuse to settle for a feel-good religion so that we might be unsettled by the revelation of the Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross, who takes away the sin of the world. It begins when we think that there is something at stake. It begins not with a faith in a faith, but a faith in a living in the source and content of our faith, the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. My friends, I have an agenda. I believe that there is something at stake. And I think it's your soul. I think it's your very life. I want you to know the source of this life, the content of your faith. I want you to know Jesus Christ. And I think it begins when we make a decision to be disciples together. Not to be almost Christians, not to be many Christians, but to pursue this with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So let's dig into the scriptures. Let's live a faith with joy and confidence because we have been given a Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a new citizenship in heaven that makes a total claim on us. Let's till the soil of hope with the hope of the gospel. Let's prepare the heart, ready the mind, and stay awake so that we notice where God is on the move. And when we notice, let us follow. It is in following Jesus that we learn to love him. When we settle for anything less, we become less. To hope for anything less than the risen Jesus Christ is to betray our hope. I have an agenda. I want you and me together to follow Jesus, to do this together as a people of hope. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you have gathered us in the belly of the sanctuary once again to hear your word and to hear your voice call us to follow you. Your cross is at the center of our new life, and we are grateful for it, and we bow before Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray that his mighty word would overwhelm each person here. Keep us from the temptation to being almost Christian as we launch into this weekend, so that with joy and with freedom, we might discover what it means to love you with all we have, and we might discover what it means to receive your love for all that we have. We pray this in Christ's name, and all of hope said, amen. Go in peace, my friends.